In these last days, the Bible predicts a turning away from biblical truth. In order to combat false teachings that are running rampant and a growing lack of biblical literacy, Behold Israel provides weekly public readings of Scripture to equip you with the pure Word of God, read in an international community with interaction and application. Each week, we host different guests from all walks of life. Original readings can be found on our Behold Israel community channel on YouTube or on our Facebook channel. These are audio versions created to make it convenient for your busy schedule. Now, on to our readings.
Hello to everybody. Mike Golay here with another episode of Public Reading of Scripture, PRS. Tonight, we open up the book of Zephaniah. We continue through John. We're going to be praying right after Zephaniah for Israel. We're going to have some insights. And also at the end, we'll be opening up the chat room as well. So now's the time to share this with family, friends, and anybody that's interested to support Israel in prayer and to hear God's word. You're going to find that tonight's reading in Zephaniah, a lot of the same principles apply to the nation of Israel today as it did back then. And God's promises, despite what they've done, despite their attitudes and their decisions. And so with us tonight is Tara. Tara Novak is our team staff prayer coordinator. And Tara, tell us a little bit about what you do in the Behold Israel team.
My main focus is to pray for the staff and all their families, and it keeps me pretty busy because there's a lot of people to pray for on this team, as most of you know. And I really felt called to do this a long time ago, and I think one of my greatest joys is being an intercessor. And I like to not only, when I pray, I like to hear from the Lord what He has to say to me as well. So it's two-way communication, so I love it.
Yeah, you have been a critical part of the team with that. Whenever we have to go into battle, serious battle, or just skirmishes, God seems to answer all your prayers. Is there like a specific miracle that comes to your mind? Maybe just one example of what the Lord's done in as an answer to your prayer?
As an answer to prayer, I think probably one of the biggest things This is just real recent, so that's why I'll share this with you. When I was praying, you know, I was feeling pretty good about myself and my Christian walk. And so I asked the Lord, "Lord, would you show me if I have any idols?" And immediately I heard my husband's name. And it really shocked me because I didn't think I had any idols. But come to find out, when I prayed more and kind of conversed with the Lord, then it was, I had seen where I had allowed my husband to become an idol in my life. And praying as forgiveness and trying to walk a different walk as far as my husband's concerned. But it's been kind of hard. I had shoulder replacement surgery a few months ago, and he's had to do everything for me. And so when you have to depend on someone that much, I guess it's easy to kind of put them in that idol position. But so things are changing and looking much brighter.
Well, folks, this is H.T. Novak's wife, Tara Novak. You get to see H.T. a lot. And this is the last time we saw you was in Jerusalem when we did a PRS and the internet wasn't working the greatest. And so it is really good to see you again. And thanks for coming on tonight. I do want to open up the chat, and I haven't done this in a long, long time. There are people from Myanmar, Aruba, all over the United States. We have from South Carolina, and I want you all to see this on the screen. You'll see the Facebook or the YouTube icon that shows you what platform they're watching this on. We have from Ohio and Florida, Lynn. It's good to see you, Lynn Anderson. Winnipeg, Canada. And this is an international community. The vision of PRS is to simply take some time, less than an hour, I might add, where we go through different chapters of the Bible. We read them. We pray. We support Israel. We support Israel, folks. And God hears our prayers. And so UK, Kentucky, look at this. Yeah. Aiken, South Carolina, Janice, New Mexico, Denise. Rockford, Illinois. I've passed through there many times, Deborah. Maine, Janet. Wow. I don't hear a ton of people from Maine. Tulsa, Oklahoma. Texas. That's where Tara's from, is Texas. Prior Lake, Minnesota. Lucy. Yes, Lucy. Good to see you. I know Lucy. That's why I'm excited.
Alaska.
And it goes on. Alaska. Do you see all of these places, everybody? Hey, share this because this is a great way to support Israel through prayer. All you have to do is just sit in front of a computer and pray with us, or even send your prayers. We're going to give you that chance to write down your prayers in this very chat room that you're seeing. Louisiana, California. Alabama blesses Amir. I'll tell him that. I'll see him next week. Nicaragua. All right. I could have fun all night with that, but we're going to go straight in. Tara, you're the prayer minister. So will you please pray for our time before we open up God's word?
Yes. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be in your holy word, Father, and just knowing that it is our instruction manual for our lives. And we want to make sure that we're abiding in you. And so for this time around the world, Father, we just want to give this time to you, and may it be a praise lifted up high to you. And I just pray that people would be blessed from this public reading of scripture. So I ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. All right. So we open up Zephaniah. Zephaniah in Hebrew comes from Zephaniah, which means the hidden mysteries of the Lord, or what is hidden by God. And the reason why it's named that was an actual man. You'll find that the actual authors are real people, but their names are themes of the actual prophecy. And so this is revealing that which is hidden, that which is a mystery. And it talks a lot about the day of the Lord and what Israel had done in its past. So you'll find that Zephaniah is related to Hezekiah, the reformer, and these are in the days where Josiah is doing reforms because of Israel's past idolatry and their policies of idols, Tara, idols, literal idols up on the high places. And so we're going to do all three chapters, and it's only three chapters. So we're going to jump straight in, and we're going to read from the New King James Version so we can all stay on the same page. Zephaniah, exciting stuff. The word of the Lord, which came to Zephaniah, the son of Cushi, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah. I will utterly consume everything from the face of the land, says the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, and the stumbling blocks along with the wicked. I will cut off man from the face of the land, says the Lord. Not the greatest way to start a prophecy in the culture of the West, where we want to have a feel-good, positive outlook. It's immediate judgment. I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off every trace of Baal from this place. The names of the idolatrous priests with the pagan priests, those who worship the host of heaven on the housetops, those who worship and swear oaths by the Lord, but who also swear by Milcom, those who have turned back from following the Lord and have not sought the Lord nor inquired of him. See, they love themselves, folks. They love to do what they wanted, when they wanted, how they wanted, worshiped what they wanted, and they left God in the dark. And they were paying the price. Be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has invited his guests, and it shall be in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children, and all such as are clothed with foreign apparel. In the same day I will punish all those who leap over the threshold, who fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. And there shall be on that day, says the Lord, the sound of a mournful cry from the fish gate, a wailing from the second quarter, and a loud crashing from the hills. Wail, you inhabitants of Maktesh, For all the merchant people are cut down. All those who handle money are cut off. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency. Complacency. Who say in their heart, the Lord will do no good, nor will he do evil. Therefore their goods shall become booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall build houses, but not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards, but not drink their wine. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty men shall cry out. The day of the Lord is wrath, the day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against high towers. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they've sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuse. Neither the silver nor the gold shall be able to deliver them. Wow, are you listening to this? In the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. Jealousy. For he will make speedy riddance of all those who dwell in the land. Now, Tara's going to take chapter 2 and go all the way into chapter 3, verse 7. So take it away, Tara.
This is a call to repentance. Gather yourselves together. Yes, gather together, O undesirable nation, before the decree is issued or the day passes like chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you. Before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you. Seek the Lord. All you meek of the earth who have upheld his justice, seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. For Gaza shall be forsaken and Ashkelon desolate. They shall drive out Ashdod at noonday, and Ekron shall be uprooted. Woe to the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Cherethites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, land of the Philistines. I will destroy you, so there shall be no inhabitant. The seacoast shall be pastures with shelters for shepherds and folds for flocks. The coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed their flocks there. In the house of Ashkelon, they shall lie down at evening. For the Lord their God will intervene for them and return their captives. I have heard the reproach of Moab and the insults of the people of Ammon, with which they have reproached my people and made arrogant threats against their borders. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be like Sodom and the people of Ammon like Gomorrah. Overrun with weeds and salt pits in a perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall plunder them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. This they shall have for their pride, because they have reproached and made arrogant threats against the people of the Lord of hosts. The Lord will be awesome to them, for he will reduce to nothing all the gods of the earth. People shall worship him, each one from his place, indeed, all the shores of the nations. You Ethiopians also, you shall be slain by my sword. And he will stretch out his hand against the north, destroy Assyria, and make Nineveh a desolation, as dry as the wilderness. The herd shall lie down in her midst, every beast of the nation. Both the pelican and the bittern shall large on the capitals of her pillars. Their voice shall sing in the windows. Desolation shall sing. Desolation shall be at the threshold, for he will lay bare the cedar work. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt securely, that said in her heart, I am it, and there is none besides me. Hell has she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down. Everyone who passes by her shall hiss and shake his fist. Chapter 3. Woe to her who is rebellious and polluted to the oppressing city. She has not obeyed his voice. She has not received correction. She has not trusted in the Lord, and she has not drawn near to her God. Her princes in her midst are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves that leave not a bone till morning. Her prophets are insolent, treacherous people. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The Lord is righteous in her midst. He will do no unrighteousness. Every morning, he brings his justice to light. He never fails, but the unjust knows no shame. I have cut off nations. Their fortresses are devastated. I have made their streets desolate, with none passing by. Their cities are destroyed. There is no one, no inhabitant. I said, surely you will fear me. You will receive instruction, so that her dwelling would not be cut off, despite everything for which I punished her. But they rose early and corrupted all their deeds.
And we continue in verse 8. Therefore, wait for me, says the Lord. Now watch what happens here, folks. This is the beauty of the prophets. People say, oh, God's a God of judgment. He's an angry God in the Old Testament. But they forget passages like this. Until the day I rise up for plunder, my determination is to gather the nations to my assembly of kingdoms, to pour on them my indignation, all my fierce anger, all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then I will restore to the peoples a pure language, that they all may call on the name of the Lord, to serve him with one accord. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshipers, the daughter of my dispersed ones, shall bring my offering. In that day, you shall not be ashamed for any of your deeds in which you transgress against me. For then I will take away from your midst those who rejoice in your pride, and you shall no longer be haughty. In my holy mountain, I will leave in your midst a meek and humble people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall do no unrighteousness and speak no lies, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed their flocks and lie down, and no one shall make them afraid. You see, now it gets even better. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy, the King of Israel, the Lord is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more. In that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion, let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I will gather those who sorrow over the appointed assembly, who are among you to whom its reproach is a burden. Behold, at that time, I will deal with all who afflict you. I will save the lame and gather those who were driven out. I will appoint them for praise and fame in every land where they were put to shame. At that time, I will bring you back. Even at that time, I will gather you, for I'll give you a fame and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I return your captives before your eyes, says the Lord. All right, now a few things here before we jump into some insights. So, you know, a lot of you got excited, perhaps, when Tara read Gaza will be a wasteland and Ashdod, Ashkelon, and all this region there, that all along the coast. You know, and we get emails from people saying, is this war in Israel the fulfillment of that? Well, no, it's not. It is the historical progression of Israel's or Judah's judgment based on their past sins, And God used Assyria to do the work, which was mentioned. And then Assyria, of course, was overtaken by Babylon. And then the people were taken captive by the Babylonians in 586, exiled, and then they returned. However, the language, especially in chapter 3, has a global perspective and an ultimate return of Jews. And so you'll find that in the prophets, there's an immediate fulfillment in the day of the prophet or close by. And then there's the ultimate fulfillment, kind of the utopious hope of Israel. And of course, the day of the Lord for them meant the judgment of these foreign nations, whereas the ultimate day of the Lord. And it says very clearly that their king will be in their midst. Okay, so they did have a Judean king after Babylon, but the ultimate king that fulfills the ultimate and satisfies the true meaning of this is, of course, Jesus at his second coming after the Battle of Armageddon, when he judges the nations and where Israel comes to faith, the remnant. And then it goes into what we call the millennium, where they resume sacrifices. And so it all fits. And so it's a beautiful thing. Tara, what did you take away from this? This is really one of those kind of, you know, no one really talks about Zephaniah.
Yeah. I suppose the thing that kind of stood out to me is with all the wickedness of his nation, that he still is a loving God and is willing to be faithful, especially to the remnant. And it says, the remnant shall do no unrighteousness and speak no lies, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. No one shall make them afraid. So it's just, he's, you know, it's been the apple of God's eye all along, and he's still going to keep watch over Israel.
Yeah, I opened the chat, can see that there. People are praying for Israel right now and giving insights, also sharing where they're from. You know, Eva, you called it, Eva Hagland. Yeah, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus talks about the global signs and wonders that will happen. Joel talks about those. The apostles talk about those. The first, second, and third century really wrote about those things that would happen. And so, again, folks, write down your prayers for Israel. We are far from over. The issue is Hezbollah. The issue is Iran. And the cleanup has gone well in the Gaza Strip. And we still need to pray for those hostages, folks. Pray for those hostages. I mean, can you imagine what it would be like to be a family member of one of the hostages since October 7th? Imagine, what do you do during the day? Like, how do you handle the wonderment? You know, I'm asking all of us just to pray for all of these people, that the Lord would just give them supernatural strength to cling to hope, and that ultimately these hostages will be released. We've seen some released and even rescued, really. So continue to pray. I wonder, Tara, can you just, as we all write down our prayers in the chat and our insights, will you pray right now for Israel, Tara?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we just want to pray for the nation of Israel. And Father, this is the land where you chose to put your name. And we know that you still are watchful over the nation of Israel. And so, Lord, during this particular time of war, when things have changed for many, many people, I just pray that you would bring comfort to those people who are family members, have hostage from their family. And Lord, just give them peace that only you as a shepherd can give. And I pray too, Lord, for the IDF and all the young men. Just look at those faces. They're all so young and their life just really starting. I just pray that you would continue to equip them with keen eyesight and keen hearing and be alert in all of their endeavors. And yet at the same time, Father, I just pray they will see your hand in all that they're doing over there. So continue to be with the IDF as they still have a lot more work to do. And please be with the members of the family that they've left behind, who are worried about their loved ones. And I pray that you would just give grace where they need grace, mercy where they need mercy. Just, Father, you know the needs. And we just can stand back and watch from afar as all these things continue to unfold. And so, Lord, we want to be mindful of the history that you have laid out from Genesis to Revelation, Lord. And we know that you are Abba, Father. And we just lift this prayer to you in your mighty name. And you're the Lord of angels, Lord of the hosts, Father. So continue to fulfill your plan, Father, as you have laid out in your word so clearly. And I ask all this in your name. Amen.
Amen. I love seeing, I couldn't help but while you're praying, just to read and pray with the people that are writing prayers here too. So it's when you personalize, like choose any member of your family that you love in your mind. Just choose them in your mind. And let's say that Hamas took them brutally and has had them since October 7th. That adds perspective. See, so that's the reality, folks. Yeah, I didn't mean to get all emotional, but it's real. It's very real. Well, we're not done yet. We're going to go over to John, and we're going to read chapter 15. And then we'll pull the room back up, so you put your prayers there as well after we do these two chapters. We're going to do John chapter 15 and 16, okay? This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he breaks away or takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. No one likes the pruning process, but got to do it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I love the visuals. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them in the fire, and they are burnt. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. That interesting, if we abide in him, our will is his will and his will is our will. And so whatever we ask, he does. It's when our will is not his will and we're walking according to the flesh, those fleshly selfish prayers, he often doesn't even, he just dismisses them. Something interesting. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. In the Greek, it says perfect or complete. And this is a good translation, full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Notice that these are Christ's commands, and it's not the Ten Commandments. It's the command of Jesus to love one another as much as he loves us. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which was written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, capitalized H, the Helper, of course that refers to the Holy Spirit, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. By the way, the Holy Spirit is a person. It's not a thing. So you don't say it. The Holy Spirit is an it. It is a he is the third person of the Trinity. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Now, John 16.
These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogue. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. And some of his disciples said among themselves, what is that? He says to us, a little while, and you will not see me, and again, a little while, and you will see me, and because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he says? A little while, we do not know what he is saying. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but that the world will rejoice and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came. See, I lost my place. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. But his disciples said to him, see, now you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this, we believe that you came forth from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
So I'm going to open up the chat again here. And we are going to ask everybody to share their insights and continue their prayer for Israel. The challenge is, in war, people are dying. People are suffering. Generally speaking, human beings look to a higher power, is what the world would call that. You and I know that, quote, higher power to be God. God gives visions and dreams to Muslims. That's a common thing that he does. And with Jewish people, he uses all the methods that many of us are familiar with in the West. Conversations with friends, reading something, maybe hearing something, and the list goes on. Let's not forget, we as Gentiles are grafted into the olive tree, the promises of Israel. And the remnant of Israel, the believers, will prosper it as they pass through the judgment of God in the last days, the second coming. All Israel will be saved. That remnant will pass into the millennium and so on. Jesus made it very clear that we as believers are to abide in him. And proof of us abiding is that we keep his commands, which is to love one another to the level that Jesus loves us, which is only possible with the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who will allow us the right attitude and the right words at any given time to dispense our duty. So it's a beautiful passage. Chapter 15 is one of my favorites because I keep coming back to it. This word abide fascinates me. It means to be completely aligned in purpose, thought, meaning, and action, reaction. It's our whole, we are literally mirroring Jesus to the world because we're that close to him ourselves. Because we're abiding. We're literally connected to him. Again, write your prayers down and your insights. It's clearly visible on the right side. Tara, anything you want to say here? Any insights that you gathered from these two chapters?
Well, I can say I am so glad to have the Holy Spirit to guide me and direct me. And you can tell sometimes whenever you are in angst about something that Holy Spirit is, they're just not in tune. You're not walking together. And so I love it that this work of the Holy Spirit is so amazing. And that Jesus knew the need to leave the Holy Spirit for us. And how important that is today for us as believers.
Mm-hmm.
To just cling to the promise that he's given us.
There's a phrase that says here, without me, you can do nothing. Now, here's what he means. As human beings, we can do a lot. We can build buildings. We can make nice cars. We can have great agriculture, nice big homes. We can love, we can hate, we can do things, but none of it outside of Jesus lasts. We cannot evangelize effectively without him. We cannot live the Christian life without him. We can do nothing as it pertains to spirituality in Jesus and for eternity with eternal investments. We cannot do anything. And a lot of people think about that. Especially later in life when they're reflecting on their lives and what their lives meant. Will there be any meaning afterwards? As we've read in the previous months, when we went through the book of Ecclesiastes, we realized that everything is vanity without God. Everything, quote, under the sun, that is, without God. So I love the fact that we have these beautiful insights on the right side. Thank you, Deborah, for your prayer. Leaders in Israel for strength and fortitude, and they do not head what the U.S. government is trying to do to them. Yeah, I'm an American, and my government, most of the government, is vying for a ceasefire. And remember, mercy without truth can lead to catastrophe, can lead to codependent enablement. And so that's what's going on there with the United States here. You know, because the Hamas will just seize all of the rations anyway. They do. They put 3 people minimum. Every Air Force drop that they've done, 3 Hamas people minimum has seized the MREs, meals ready to eat, and other. And then they recycle them and use them as control for the people. This is a PRS, not a political commentary, so I'm going to discipline myself not to go that way. But Jika, thank you for your prayer. B. Blisky, let us shout Yeshua, Yeshua Abba. I'm at Israel and we need you. My King, I love you. Help, Lord. Simple prayers of God's people. Anna Gross, Father, in the name of Jesus, please bring the hostages home. Protect Israel. Protect IDF. Be faithful to your promises to Israel. May your spirit reveal Jesus to the Israelis. Yes. Mm-hmm. And on it goes. Keep writing your prayers. Yes, pray. Yes, Pastor Mike, such calamity. Such calamity, huh? Such calamity. I've never seen this level of brutality and savagery in my entire life. And it's very sobering. So we're going to close the chat right now and we're going to land the plane. I just want to remind you all, I'm going to put this up here. We do have a Mediterranean cruise where we would like to meet you while we open up the book of Daniel and Revelation. And teach you the whole thing. Pastor Barry Stagner and Amir Tzalfati will open up those books. I'm going to be there, and I want to meet you all. I want to meet you all. And again, I'm going to foot pound this over and over again. Please share this. Get people on the Telegram channel. Share this. Share this video and let them scan that QR code. There is so much fake news about Israel. My goodness. It's epidemic portions, folks. Our sources are verified. And when we post stuff, it has a way to give you a clear picture of what's going on over in Israel. And there's so much information. You know, you can read what's interesting and be educated at the very minimum. So go ahead and share that with people. Tara, we're going to close. And before we do the Aaronic blessing, can you ask God to bless every viewer between now and next week when we resume?
Absolutely. Father, as we close this meeting, I just thank you for all the viewers that are out there from all over the world. And Lord, it's just so exciting to know that there can be an outreach of public reading out of the Word of God. So, Father, I just pray blessings on each one of the people that have tuned in tonight. And I just pray that you will continue to be their helper and guide as they try to abide in you on a daily basis, Father. And we just thank you for this provision that you have given to us. And so until we meet again next week, Mike's going to do the Aaronic blessing.
And just put your hands out as a symbol of receiving. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So we go with his peace now, and we bless every one of you. Thank you so much for your prayers, for your donations, for your love, and for your encouragement. So until next week, Mike and Tara say goodbye. Litrot, we say in Hebrew, which means to see you again.